think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Yogini and Minister Joanne Lee. And on this week's show, back again, we have Justin Carpenter. Justin is a heartfelt, spiritual soul brother who shares his divine truth and sacred wisdom about Christ consciousness within and what is happening in our awakening world on his incredible website through wonderful videos and on his Telegram chat and Facebook. In this week's show, we discuss Kundalini Kriya Yoga and the mystical ascent, which is an ancient spiritual science of the self through which human consciousness can be ascended, brought into union with the divine Christ consciousness, and enlightenment achieved. Honestly, I just want to welcome you back again, Justin, my soul brother, to the Great Awakening Show.
Thank you so much, Joanne. It's always a pleasure to be here. We have such great discussions every single time, and I know this is going to be another one.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, I've written my book, my Awakening Your Divine Feminine book, which I'm going next week to sort out about the publishing, so it's getting a bit wonderful now. But,
cool.
You know, and I've written it, all of this, in my book. So I've just took little excerpts of it and I thought I could read it out and then we could discuss it, yeah? And yeah, because you practice it now, Kundalini, yes. Kriya Yoga.
Yes.
And, you know, I've been practicing it for a while. So Kundalini Kriya Yoga, many people don't understand what it is. You know, they're scared of it, they don't understand. So I've just written a little blurb here, what I say, and then I want you to tell me your feelings about the whole thing. So Kundalini Kriya Yoga is a spiritual science through which human consciousness can be ascended up the spine and brought into union, divine union, through breathing techniques, through meditation, through light, sound, vibration, and certain actions, you know. Kundalini Shakti is the serpent energy, and it's our soul potential and power. And it's a form of intensified life force prana, which lies at the base of the spine. And they say it's curled 3.5 times, ready to be awakened through certain Kundalini practices of the breathing techniques, which is a form of life force spinal breathing that magnetizes the Kundalini. So this magnetism is like it pulls the Kundalini up. It's unbelievable how our body can do this. And this is the secret of all secrets. And it brings the Kundalini, the chrism oil, out of the lower chakras into the higher chakras and then all the way up into the third ventricle, the inner temple, the Holy Trinity, and the Ark of the Covenant, isn't it? This is where the Ark of the Covenant is. Truly. Everyone's looking for it out there, but it's in here. It's always been in here, protected by the cherubim, protected by, it's just unbelievable. And of course, this alchemical process releases the, from the pituitary and the pineal and the thalamus, secretes the holy secretions, which causes the DMT and Amrita, which I write about because that's the longevity beautiful nectar of longevity, the honey and it causes the alchemical process of Christ consciousness within. And I call this the mystical ascent, right? This is what I call it, because, and I've written all about that, and I'll go on to that later about, but how do you find, tell us about, because I know there's different forms of Kundalini Kriya Yoga being taught in the world, but you tell us what your teachers have told you.
Yeah, well, beautifully said. I mean, Kriya Yoga in the name itself, Kriya means divine action. So action aligned with the Ya, which is the divinity. And then yoga means union, a union of the physical and the metaphysical. So this is a practice that's intended to activate, not as something that we just do as something, you know, in a meditative practice, but really to imbue into everyday life. So to really consciously marry the breath, which is our connection point, the inhale and the exhale, which is our continual merging with the divine, and take that into everyday practice. So it really augments our awareness of the chakra superhighway within, which is this seven layered path, getting back to that point, which is the connection within. So the third ventricle would be connected to the ajna, which is our in-body connection point. And then that points towards the crown, the fontanelle, which is the connection point for God to reach in. So this is truly the most effective way for us to tap into this beautiful connection that we always have, in a way that really just magnifies our ability to tap into it. So it's it's really exciting to do this. I've been practicing for a little over 6 months now, and it's one of those things where I will say I haven't done it every single day, but the days that I don't do it are very noticeable. So it's one of those things where I'm really grateful for the contrast of seeing, okay, this is what it feels like when I do this on a regular basis, and this is what it feels like when I don't, because it's like everything is just imbued with this subtle magic. You know, everything has this subtle, just kind of like intensity to it that gives more color and vibrancy, which just shows that this light, because that's really all we're doing, is we're channeling this light into us. So this light is able to reach into my body, into my mind in a much more effective way when I'm able to practice this on a regular basis. So I've really enjoyed it. I learned from the traditional lineage from kriya.org, which is going back through the eight masters who have taught this practice. So giving thanks to them in practice, and then moving through the several different layers to go deeper into how can we tap into our highest and most beautiful self, and then carry that into everyday life. It's not about, as I said, not about doing a meditation and then leaving that. It's about bringing that meditation, that sense of presence, into everyday life. So every conversation is a meditation. Every walk, every experience is a meditation. So it's amazing in that sense.
That's right. And that's what it means to be mindful of every thought, feeling, to make it sacred, a sacred thought, feeling, word and action. That's being mindful of it. That's being in the meditation, isn't it? Part of it. And that's so beautiful, because as we raise the energy, raise the Kundalini, the chrism, you know, over a period, I mean, it could take lifetimes. It could take, you know, they say so many, but I've found when I do my practice, I know I try and do it every day, but you know, the times that I don't, of course, I can feel it. When I go into the just meditation, straight after doing my kriyas, I can just feel, it's almost like, you know, the energy, and it's like something is opening. I can feel the opening of that third eye, that fluttering, and it really opens, and it's almost like a pulling of me wanting to come out of my body, the soul wanting to come out. And it's just so beautiful, the light, and it's just, and that's what happens, because it activates the crown, and the crown starts spinning, yeah? And that's what the halos are of all of the old paintings, with the beautiful halos around the saint's head, because you've activated your crown, yeah? Which spins open. And then this is going to get me onto the Merkaba, because the Merkaba, through Kriya meditation and raising your energy, the soul ascends and activates our Merkaba, which it means throne, chariot, the light body. Yeah. And in the yogi and Buddhism, it's called the rainbow body. And the yogis and the Buddhists could actually make in life, they can do, of course, they will go into the rainbow body after death, but they can do it in life. And they can actually go into the Merkaba and travel to the multidimensional universe, yeah? But this is the whole, what I've been learning about in the mystical ascent, the whole reason we are here. And Jesus did it. Mary Magdalene did it. Mary, Mother Mary, was a high Gnostic of seen, and she raised herself into her light energy body, yeah? And what is the light energy body? The light energy body, it's just being an angel. We have risen ourselves into the Akashic or the higher astral realms, into that light energy body, which is an angel. We are all fallen. We fall to earth. We descend. We become dense. Our soul comes dense through all of the different lokas and all the realms. And then we have to rise again, don't we?
Yeah, it's the beautiful process. It's the beautiful process of rediscovering who we truly are. And we are angels of light. We are angels. So yes, we are this light slowed down to a slow vibration, which gives the appearance of physicality. And the whole point is to remember through the forgetfulness that we are these angels of light, and step back into that. And then have a grounded experience where we're both simultaneously physical and metaphysical. We are both light and physical in that same sense. And that's the whole point of this process, is to be that balance point between. I mean, you mentioned the Merkaba. The Merkaba is the union point between the divine feminine as the downward triangle and the masculine as the upward triangle, creating that the six-pointed star, which is the Star of David, as many call it, but it's the Merkaba. It represents that union between the two realms, so that we are the best man or best woman between Father Heaven and Mother Earth, giving that perfect symbiosis between these two experiences, so that I can simultaneously step into my metaphysical body, travel the astral planes in that space vehicle. You know, there's no such thing as outer space, but truly this inner space, we're able
inner
to travel.
Space, isn't it? Inner space. It's an inner inside job.
Yes. And it's perfect in that sense, because it gives us this just this huge playground to play in all forms. So we're not limited to any way of being. We get to explore and experience and just have fun. And that's really what we're here to do, is to have fun in this.
Wow. It's just unbelievable. And the whole, I believe, the whole, you know, life on earth, and in thousands and thousands and thousands of years time, well, the Gnostic Essenes, they believed that Adam and Eve, the first humans, yeah, were light energy bodies, yeah? And then, of course, because, and I think we touched on this in our Jesus and Mary video, but because God made them in a divine creation, yeah, they were by God, Goddess, the Elohim, made them in divine creation, but they gave them the way to make love, not to make love like an animal, but to have creation in that divine way, how they were made. But of course, you know, the senses overcame them, and you know, they fell, and that's why they had physical bodies. But this is what we are all now. In thousands of years, it will be, you know, slowly, the physical body, slowly will give way to our true self, which is our true light body. And therefore, the veil between heaven and earth will be no more. Heaven shall be on earth. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. I mean, yes, absolutely. And even on a physiological level, we will shift from, we've fallen into a carbon-based body, we'll shift back to a silicon-based body, which is that crystalline form, which allows that permeation of light to flow through us. And there will be a glow into us. You know, there will be an aspect of truly light emerging from our bodies, which is where we came from. So it's not necessarily to look at the fall as if it's a bad thing.
No.
You know, we chose to experience it and we chose to come into this full, dense physical experience just to experience the exaltation and the joy of returning back to our highest form and learning every step of the way. So there's a process there. The in-breath and the out-breath shows up in every single way. The sine wave is this continual evolution of us. So we get to experience the falls so that we can have the rises and back to grace. And hopefully we choose not to fall this far again. You know, we don't have to, but this is a part of the process to learn from. So there's beauty in every bit of it. There's goodness in all of it. God is always here. So we never
That's
leave.
Right. From that. And it wasn't original sin. You know, yeah. it was original divinity, because they wanted more. They wanted the wisdom, the knowledge. They wanted to know about the divine realms. They wanted, you know, that's why they took the apple. It's just so symbolic, and it's all allegory, like the true, like the Bible is. You know, it's just fantastic, really, isn't it? And as Jesus said, when thy eye be single, thy body shall fill with light. You know, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is within, and it's within. It's just unbelievable. And Jesus, they say that in the missing years, that he was in the Himalayas and he was taught the secrets of Kundalini, Bhakti Yoga, and the mystical ascent, which is the inner path of light, sound, grace, and service. And this is how he performed all of his you know, miracles, just like the yogis. But the mystical scent helps us to connect with the divine directly. Yeah, this is what this inner journey is, isn't it? And it's just amazing, because and it teaches us how to become enlightened and to escape the lower realms of time, space, and the laws of karma, death, and rebirth, so we may ascend into the higher realms of oneness and divine peace and grace and bliss. But these teachings were taught by the great spiritual traditions, the great white lodges of Egypt, the Hindus and the Rishis of India, the Zoroastrians, yeah, of Persia, Jesus and Mary of the Gnostic Essenes, the original Freemasons, the Rosicrucians, Cathars, Sufis, mystic Kabbalists, and the Mandorians of the Iraq and Iran. So our whole mystical history, yeah, people knew about the mystical ascent. They knew about the Kundalini. They knew about the chrism oil. We've just forgotten so much about this.
Well, fortunately, not everyone has forgotten, but yeah, most of us have. We've fallen into the grips of this controlling side of ourselves, which we can't really blame anybody outside of ourselves. It is just the manifestation of our ego, this cabal that has taken the world into its grubby little hands and turned it upside down and tried to distort this truth, destroy it as much as possible. I mean, you've had centuries where this has been a consistent effort of destroying every single aspect of this higher truth, because how do you convince an angel, a god in training, that they're going to be a slave? Well, you have to trick them that they're not gods and they're not angels. You know, you have to trick them into forgetting who they are so deeply, so they fall into this slave-like mentality. So it's all coming back to us now. We're all remembering these aspects, because no matter how much they try and destroy the physical remnants of this truth, have this encoded deeply within us.
Mm. I mean, it's in the DNA.
We have the stars up above us to guide us. You know, we have.
Yes,
it's within every aspect.
It's just amazing. It just it just blows my mind, and that's why they have kept it so secret. Yeah. Mm. You know, that's why it is so secret, because it is the secret of all secrets. Is it not?
The sacred secretions, as you mentioned before, this is the melatonin, the serotonin, the dopamine, which gives us everything. It allows our body to regenerate. It allows us to tap into these higher powers, the intuition and the telepathy, among many others. And this is all physically bound within these sacred secretions from these sacred glands, the G-lands, the God-lands. It's perfect.
The God-lands, because in our head, I mean, I can't really, oh, but we'll just go through a little bit. And then, you know, lies the colostrum, yeah, known as the center, Santa Claus, which gives you the gifts from the North Pole through the chimney, the channel, down to the third ventricle. And this is activated by the moon in our sign that we have 2.5 days every month. So, and it comes down, doesn't it? So 13 times a year, once a month, this lunar frequency causes the colostrum to release the neurotransmitter, signaling the master pineal to release the sacred secretions of melatonin, the Joseph Father Honey gold solar substance that travels down Pingala Nadi, yeah, one side of the channel. And then the colostrum also signals the pituitary to release the sacred secretion of serotonin, the Mary Mother Milk Silver lunar substance that travels down Ida. And these channels, it's the vagus nerve, isn't it? The 10th cranial nerve goes all the way down. And then it comes into contact with the psycho-spiritual seed that is born every time the moon is in our star sign. It's just so amazing. Astrotheology, the Bible is just, it's just unbelievable. And then it waits here. And then it comes out. And Mary and Jesus, what do? They fertilize our psycho-spiritual seed in the sacred sacrum. Yeah. And that fertilization is the magnetism. It intensifies it. It brings it back. But it brings it up, Sushuma. We don't go up the Ida. We come down the Ida and we go zoom, straight up into the Sushuma. Then it crosses over, gets crucified 1,000 times more intense. And then it comes in to, and it waits, doesn't it? And in that time, of course, in them 3 days that Jesus was in the tomb, you've got to have wonderful purification mode. No cooked food, fasting, you know, beautiful thoughts, practicing art, meditation, all of this, because you can easily destroy that beautiful chrism oil, can't you? It's so sacred, isn't it? That's why we have to purify. Talk about the purification of that.
Yeah, well, this is, as you mentioned briefly, this is the purification of all aspects. So it's the baptism of water, which is purification of the physical. So this is clean eating, clean habits, making sure that our body is pure and able to receive this sacred seed. And then there's the baptism of fire, which is purification of the mind. So this is recognition of any thoughts that take us away and deter us into lower thought forms and lower vibrations. So any of those aspects will drive our body into acidity, and any level of acidity is going to destroy the sacred seed. It is very fragile and very, very precious, just as the baby, the child truly is. And that's why we have to care for it like a newborn baby every single time, because it is precious to us. It is what gives us the essence of this newborn child and imbues our body with the regenerative everlasting life. It truly is that.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
This, it's just about, I believe that the Kundalini Kriya Yoga tech, this is where this comes in, you know, this is where, because so it's powerful that you can do that on your moon time, yeah, with your Kundalini practices when you're in that purification mode anyway. Because honestly, it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward there openly. So the third ventricle, the Holy Trinity, is the secret closet between the two cerebral hemispheres of the brain that we pray and meditate upon in secret when we are alone. This is the holy place known as the light of the world, the Ark of the Covenant. Then the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the holiest place underneath the wings of the cherubim. So the two cherubim used in the Bible refer to this two cerebral hemispheres of the brain between the temples and our head. The job of the cherubim in the temple was to cover the holy place, the Holy Trinity, or the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, which holds the seat of our soul and our God, goddess particle within. Unbelievable. This is written in the Bible.
And that's Kriya Yoga. That's divine action in union. So union between the left and the right hemispheres, the left being the hemisphere that's connected to physicality, and the right being connected to divinity, metaphysicality. So the union between these two is that's the secret. That's the balance point. That's why Jesus taught the middle way as this balance point between the masculine and the feminine. You know, that's why the Ida and the Pingala do have to merge together into the Sushumna. It's not separate any longer. So the two become one.
Yeah.
The sacred union, the sacred sex.
This is all
about, this is all about that romantic story of bringing two into one. And then the two and the one become the three. And this is all about the three.
And then so what is the three? The mother, the father, the feminine, the masculine, the holy child, the spiritual child, which is us. We are the 13th apostle.
Yes.
Going through all of the zodiac. It's just, it's all connected. It's just unbelievable, is it not?
Yes, it truly is.
The Holy One story. It just blows my mind.
Yes.
You know, I've written this all in my book. I don't know how, you know. I don't care. This truth must come out now. Yeah. We have to tell people about this truth. This is the power that they have kept away us away for millennia. They don't want us to know our power. You know, I mean, the Chinese Taoists call the third ventricle, the Holy Trinity, the crystal palace, and tell us the pineal light impregnates the pituitary, which produces these secretions and is the cosmic holy sex act in the head that eventually produces the spiritual child. In Hinduism, the third ventricle, the Holy Trinity, is called the crave of Brahma. Mm. And Brahma is the Hindu god referred to as the creator and the Trinity, the supreme divinity that includes the gods Vishnu and Shiva. So it's the Hindu god Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, the Holy Trinity in Hindu.
It's perfect. It's perfect in that sense.
It's unbelievable.
And then when we step into this, then our optic thalamus, which is the light of the world, is illuminated. And that's why it's all about having oil, which is that Christed seed in our lamp to illuminate, to be that light. And, you know, people might sometimes when people hear about this kind of stuff, they might get overwhelmed with all the details and like, how do I do this? And what's the best way to go about it? And sure, there are effective ways to kind of go deeper into this. Like we've mentioned Kriya Yoga. However, don't overcomplicate it either.
You don't have to practice Kriya Yoga for this to happen.
No, not at all. Like this is something that we, in order to really step into it, you step out of the mind. So it's overcomplicating the process with thinking about it can actually hamper and dampen this process from happening. So truly just be in that state of kindness and joy and highest expression, whatever you love to do, find that passion in service and do that. And it truly will happen. You know, we don't have to force it. We don't have to rush it. We don't have to make anything happen any certain ways. It is just a celebration of creation. It is meditation is that state of being content, being joyful, exuberant about everything that is happening, no matter what.
Exactly. That is so true. And you know, it doesn't matter what spiritual discipline or religion or faith or creed you belong to. Every single person, even the atheists, every single person is here to raise their Kundalini chrism oil. That's the whole reason of life on earth, is to raise that. And it might happen in this life and it might be raised quite intensely, you know, but or it's just a gradual practice. Because the only reason why we practice Kriya Yoga is because we fasten up that process. Kriya Yoga actually fastens it up because you are magnetizing that spine and you're using all of these techniques to bring that Kundalini, you know, and raising it up. But I've never heard of my guru that taught me the Kundalini Kriya Yoga about the chrism oil. He never talked about that. And he never talked about the 2.5 days that, you know, the stars that my star sign was in, that is so important for our cycle, psycho-spiritual seed to be birthed. You know, it's birthed in that wonderful center of us, isn't it? But they, it's like all of this is all coming together now from all of these different places to, you know, to enlighten. It's just beautiful. But you don't have to follow that. It will naturally happen anyway during your meditation process. Bill Donahue, we love Bill. Yeah, he's just, you know, and he says, just sit there, just meditate, and just let it rise you up into that lovely, beautiful white light, and it will take you off.
Yeah, I heard a great reference to when you know when your two hemispheres have merged together. A telltale sign is when you have the God bumps, the goosebumps. So when you feel that sensation flow within you, that's actually a sign that the two hemispheres have merged together. So it really is, you know, when we practice and we can get good at this, we can actually stimulate that feeling to occur regularly. But now it might only occur when we hear something beautiful or hear some music that really touches us or see an experience. And all of those are the divine moving through us to celebrate and experience that moment that is so precious, which is, you know, the celebration of the child. So every creation, we are the child. Every creation point is the child. Everything that manifests in this beautiful symbiosis of metaphysicality and physicality is the child. So it's a celebration of this birthday, this born day, every single moment, every single day.
That's right. And it's like being spiritually, it's like your second spiritual birth. Isn't it? We're born and then, you know, we have our second spiritual birth, which is incredible. It's just incredible, isn't it?
And we have a spiritual death and spiritual birth every single moment, because yes, part of the aspects of this egoic construct, which is, it's not a bad thing. It's not something to shy away from. It's truly there as a training mechanism. It's there as a sort of an autopilot to activate when we need it. But one of the sort of challenging parts of it is it steps in and it creates an identity. It creates an aspect built on the falsity of the physicality. And so every time that we have this attachment to this identity, it has to die. And this is a moment by moment thing. So usually the first time that this happens is the most intense, but yeah, this is something that continuously happens to where I can catch myself. It's like, oh, I was getting attached to this idea or expecting this particular outcome to happen. I have to let that part of myself die so that I can be reborn to what is. So let go, let what was die so that I can be reborn into what is. It's perfect in that sense.
Yeah. And it's never ending. It's a never ending evolution.
Yes.
It just doesn't, it doesn't stop,
yes,
you know, it carries on.
Yes.
And you will have lots of mini dark night of the souls, as you said, you'll go through them, you know, you just get to a point and you think, okay, but then it comes in again and it takes you further. It's like it just never stops, does it not? And
really.
I know, it's just amazing. But so when you come up like that, so it comes up. And after it stayed there in the tomb, intensifying and beautifying, it's almost like that. Then it comes up through, and what happens is there is an electromagnetism in the brain, yeah, that activates the 13 cranial nerves and the 10th narrow gate, allowing the chrism oil to move through and activate the thalamus, which is the light of the world, to bring light to the space between the temples, the holy place, which is where the thousand chakra crown, you know, ignites. And that's what happens. But then that produces, it's like it alchemizes into DMT and the Amrita. Amrita is the nectar drop, you know, that gives you the longevity. It's the white drop that gives you, and when you're in deep meditation, it can actually drop down into, through your neck, you know, through into your body. And it's like yogis can sustain themselves just on that nectar. It's just, it's the purest, most, it can give you such a long life, and that's why they live for so long. But yeah, that DMT, that's why, you know, all of these ayahuasca and all of the DMT and all, you know, smoking and all of this, it's like, that's great. That can give you so much, but they keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and they've lost it. They're using it for recreational, you know, to get out of it, yeah, which is not the purpose for that. That should take you in, but then we learn through this process to activate our own DMT and Amrita, which is astronomical. We make it in our brain. How is that?
Oh, it's amazing. And yes, I'm glad you touched on that, because people do tend to overutilize these plant medicines, which are intended to be used as a helpful tool, as a reminder. So Mother Earth is giving us a perfect reminder of what we have within us. She's giving us this gift. But if we overutilize that gift and use it as a crutch, then it takes us away from this knowing that we have this DMT within. We have this ability to tap into this bliss and this high within us at all moments. We don't need to look to any external substance. This is our birthright. This is part of us.
It's just amazing. It's just unbelievable. Yeah. And that's what can, and I remember, you know, Charlie always saying, you know, that's like activating that. That's when that opens and that energy comes in. It floods in divine intelligence, you know, all knowing, intuition, you know, it's beautiful. And I feel that. I feel that so much. You know, yeah. It's just, that's our guidance, isn't it?
Yeah, we're the radio. God. We're the radio antenna, and we've got to tune our signal to the right frequencies that we can receive that signal and then walk in accordance with the highest will, which is not, you know, it's God's will. It's God got us. It's divine masculine, divine feminine, but it is our will. You know, this is our highest will. So it is kind of lunacy not to tap into and utilize this highest will, because it's only going to guide us to the space of maximum expression, the yeah. space of highest growth. So when we trust it and when we allow this highest will to lead us, it only gets better. Everything only gets better for everyone yeah. and all involved. So exactly. It's just a beautiful process of refinement every step of the way.
Yeah. And that higher self is absolutely beautiful, because in the spiritual world, heaven, in the Akashic, you know, realms, the biggest part of our soul is there in the heavenly realms. Yeah. So it is already there. It's like our higher self, which is already a part of the oneness, part of God, which has projected that 10%, if you want, of our soul into this physical body here. So when we go within and we activate that DMT and that whole beautiful process, we are tapping into ourselves as part of that God, our higher self, which is giving us all of that information to then take action, to go and to be the live our best life, and to go and be of service, and to make that dream of service to humanity and be a humanitarian come true.
Beautiful. Yeah, it is. And it's through that process of being guided to action, to the Kriya, that begets the temptation of stepping away from that divinity and not coming back. So it has to be a continual process of recognizing that the impetus, the inspiration comes from up high. So I start there to receive that. And then I bring that into the lower realms, into the physicality. So the feminine reception to bring the masculine into action, but the masculine has the temptation of taking that process and continuing it without the feminine's help. And as soon as that happens, then we start to fall. So it's yes. this continual, so I have to let that part of myself die so that I can come back into having that surrender and openness again, being a receiver of that divine will, and then moving back into action and having that, you know, continuous process. And that's the in-breath and the out-breath. It's continuous.
That's absolutely beautiful. It's just unbelievable. It really is, isn't it?
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
That's why, you know, our soul is androgynous. You know, so we come down to have that wholeness. This is about bringing them parts of ourselves that we gave away, you know, bringing it back into wholeness. This is the wholeness. This is the integration of the Ida and Pingala coming up the Sushumna. This is the left brain and the right brain coming together. This is all parts of ourselves, our masculine and our feminine coming together. It's the wholeness, isn't it? The spiritual illumination.
Yes, absolutely. And it's the perceived opposites between these two sides of us. That's what allows all experience to happen. So we have to have these two seemingly polar opposites dancing with each other to create the vibrant play that makes all of life occur. So there's a purpose to the opposites. There's a purpose to the union and the coming together. The friction between these two seemingly opposite forces is what creates the sacred sex. That's what creates the energy. The friction is what is
sacred,
empowers everything.
Sacred sex. Sacred energy exchange.
Yes.
The friction.
100%.
Reception, yes. 100%. And the action. The man is the active, yes. And the woman is the receptive. It's just unbelievable. Yes. And so getting onto that subject, we can, you know, this is one way of doing it through Kriya and raising that within. But the other way is doing it through sacred sexual white tantric union. Yeah.
Yes.
Of retaining your sacred seed, retaining the semen, retaining and having that in-body, full chakra, crown, you know, orgasm that reaches both partners' chakras combining and having that, the ecstatic orgasm with the universe, with God, Goddess.
Yes. Yes.
So inviting, you can do it like that as well. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Inviting the divine into that sacred sexual practice, not for this pursuit of animalistic pleasure of the senses, but truly as a way of practicing that yoga, that union between two souls uniting as one. So having that merging occur, it doesn't even, you can, but it doesn't need to have the traditional penetration practice.
No.
This is simply a meditation between two souls coming together as one to create that perfect embodiment of that union, you know, to celebrate the fact that we are two,
that's
become
right.
One.
That's right. And they can go for months and months and months with just touch, with just meditation, with just breath, with just soul gazing, with just all of that, because you're heightening that energy. And then it gets to the actual point where you might have that come together in that act, but then because you are so heightened that it's just a raising, you know, in between both spines that bring it up. It's just unbelievable. This is what Goddess put us. This is the sacred conception. Yeah.
Yes.
Because we can make children this way. This is the conception of Mary, you know, and Joseph, you know, not having sex. It's true.
Yeah, it is the immaculate conception in that sense of the physicality, the physical act. And then when we take that allegorical embodiment and recognize that immaculate conception is all thought come from the divine. So when we get out of our way of trying to recreate thought or thinking about things, but truly allow that immaculate conception of thought to flow through us, that's the perfect union between the reception of the mother into the action of the Father. And there's no middleman in between. We truly are that embodiment of the two, that immaculate birth. It's perfect.
It's unbelievable. And to know that, you know, to not, because for men, you know, keep ejaculating your seed outside diminishes your energy, does it not? And for women, you know, and in my sacred books, I've read that when you start retaining that, it's called vajoli in Sanskrit. For women, it's called sahajoli, right, in Sanskrit. Mm. But when you start retaining that, that is the divine substance that comes up the spine and makes your sacred secretions. It alchemizes into the sacred secretions. It alchemizes into the DMT and into the Amrita. So you can't get there if you're pushing it out of your body.
Yes, truly. So this is another, challenge. One might ask themselves, why did we introduce this hardship to overcome of having this temptation to pursue that physical pleasure? And we're supposed to abstain from that. And it's this beautiful challenge to overcome to yield something far greater. So to let go of that short-sighted, quick pleasure, which is the dying causation of electrical burst. So we can pursue that, which is the five physical senses. We can pursue that, but that leads to a short life. It leads to death. So the idea is to let go of that short-sighted pursuit of the quick burst and truly go for the longevity, the longevity, more drawn out.
Yeah.
And it requires more diligence. It requires more effort. It requires more practice in that. Mm-hmm. But the rewards are far greater and the regeneration is everlasting. Yeah. So the choice is ours.
And also ejaculatory sex, animalistic sex also leads to unwanted children, mm-hmm. and abortion. Mm-hmm. Right? So when you're practicing this, you're not going to have that because you can't get pregnant. Yeah. You know, it has to be an immaculate conception, which is how you conceive spiritual children.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, we've been conditioned to believe that you have to have ejaculation in order to have children. But when we truly are in that state of trust, we can allow God to move through every union and bring children to wherever it's ready and wherever it's time, not be forcing this aspect to occur through this other form, which is it's honestly a form of black magic when we yes. pursue this outward ejaculation version of sex and try and force things to happen in that kind of way. It's not yes. not as God intended. It's not yeah. in our highest good. So it's for us to let go of that and to trust the divine in that process.
That's right. And this is awakening, isn't it?
Truly, yes. This is what the Great Awakening is all about, is remembering who we truly are, remembering that we are this union point between these two. We're not here to be divided. We're here to come together. We're here to come together with ourselves. We're here to come together with each other and enjoy this beautiful playground that God has given us, and celebrate life in all the ways and the vibrancy and beauty that it gives.
Unbelievable. Well, Justin, honestly, we always have the best chats about the deepest, most, physiological, alchemical processes that just need to be talked about. Yeah.
Yes.
So just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Soul Brother, for being back on the Great Awakening Show.
Of course, it's always my pleasure to be here. Thank you for doing this. It's such a service to all of us to bring these topics into our awareness. So thank you for all the work you do, and I'm honored to help any which way.